Good morning. It's good to be able to be back with you. I appreciate your prayers on our behalf while we were out of town. I appreciate those men who were speaking last week and preaching. I always appreciate those who share God's word, and appreciate those who, Bob, who took my class, and those who did the preaching. And it's good to be with you, and good to see those who regularly attend here, to be out on such a cold morning, and those who are visiting with us because of the holidays. We're thankful that you're here as well. As David mentioned in his prayer, we are fast approaching a year before us, Lord willing, in just a few hours. And I want us to consider that as our theme this morning. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 3, I'd like for us to look at a statement there. You have not passed this way before. I want to look a little bit at the story there of Israel crossing the Jordan, going into the promised land, and the statement that is made there for our consideration. We're all facing the future. The future is not something that we can avoid. The future is not something that we can say, don't come my way. It's coming my way whether I want it or not. How will we face that? What's next for us in 2018? There are some things that are unknown. There may be some things that are new challenges. And I want us to consider this morning that we need to face those things by letting God guide us along the way. The Israelites are at the threshold. They're at the doorstep of Canaan land here in Joshua chapter 3. And I believe there's some lessons that parallel our lives today. As they cross the Jordan River, as they face the future, and as we face the prospect of 2018. How will you face that? How will I face that? Israel got some instructions. When they got to the Jordan River there, it wasn't just simply a free-for-all. You know, everybody lines up, and when I say go, run across the Jordan River and start conquering Canaan land. There was an orderly crossing. There was a crossing that involved some rules and regulations and instructions. And when they did those things, they were blessed. Israel got some instructions for their near future, and I believe we need the same. I asked Clarence if he would lead the song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. That really is our thought this morning. Are we going to let God guide us in the new year? There's a future that is before us. There are new paths that lay before us. It could be a schooling change. Sometimes our young people go off to college. They make some change in that regard. It could be a job change. Somebody might be getting married this year. Somebody might plan to start their family this year. There may be some grave illness that comes into somebody's life that they didn't know that they were going to have, and now they're hospitalized, or there's some major surgery that they have to go through. It may be our year to die. But there is a future ahead of us, and we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to face that? Well, I believe there are some lessons here. We're going to look at five of them this morning from Joshua chapter 3. Some lessons that they were given, some instructions that they were given on how to face this future, and we can learn from that. Lord willing, if we're given the opportunity to have a new year, I want us to face that with letting God be our guide. What are you and I to do with regard to our future? When we look at the setting here in Joshua chapter 3, it's time for them to move forward. They've been at this place for about 2 months, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3. Moses has been repeating the law, Deuteronomy, second law, or the second giving of the law. They've come out of Egypt. They've been given the law at Mount Sinai for about a year. They've wandered through the wilderness a total of 40 years, and now they're on the threshold of going in. Moses is repeating the law and expanding on that, And now it's time to move forward. They've been in this area, Joshua 3 and verse 1, called Shittim, about 7 miles from the Jordan River. And in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, they're told to move forward and get up by the river. But there's some instructions along the way. There's a period of preparation. There's a period of time where there are serious instructions given. As I said before, it's not just a matter of a foot race into Canaan land and everybody line up and run. There's some instructions on the crossing. There's some instructions on facing the future. And there's a statement made in verse 4 that I want to key in on this morning. You have not passed this way before. This is something new for you. And just like this year ahead of us, it's going to be something new. There's going to be some things that we face in the upcoming year that are the same that we faced this past year. But I believe there's going to be some new things. You have not passed this way before, and nobody else has either. How do we do that? How do we enter into that? I want to learn 5 lessons this morning. Read with me in the text. Let's read first Joshua 3, 1 through 6, and then the end of the chapter, and then we'll come back and make some lessons for our admonition this morning. Joshua 3, verse 1, "And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant being before the people, and when they that bear the Ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great way off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those that went down toward the sea of the Arabah, even the salt sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the nation were passed clean over the Jordan." Israel was facing a future that they had not passed through before. Verse 4, "You have not passed this way before." So what were they to do? They were to follow the guide. Maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe you're traveling and now we use our phones. We have Google Maps on our phones and we let the guide tell us when to turn left and when to turn right. We may go on vacation and we may have a tour guide. There may be times in our life when somebody has to tell us the way because we've never been that way before. That's certainly true in life as we journey toward heaven. It is a way that we have not passed before, and we need to let God guide us. Well, first of all, this morning, I would like us to consider a lesson from verse 3, and that is we need to let God go first. If you'll notice in the text of Scripture that they were commanded, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. God needs to be going before us. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of God's presence. You can look in Exodus 25 and Deuteronomy 10 and Numbers 10 that the Ten Commandments are inside the Ark of the Covenant. This is God's Word. This is God's guidance. And so when the Ark of the Covenant is going first, that is God going first. It's interesting that if you read in Joshua chapter 3 and 4 of the crossing of the Jordan River, that the Ark of the Covenant takes center stage in this account. Verse 6, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 8, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 11, verse 13 and 14. Verse 17, you get over into chapter 4 and verse 7, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 9, verse 11, verse 16, verse 18. The Ark of the Covenant is everywhere in this story, and it's going first. Number one, when we face the future, when we go into a time in our life that we've not passed through before, we need to let God go first. Just like wandering through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. The pillar of cloud by day went first. The pillar of fire by night went first. It was their GPS, as it were. It was their guidance. They didn't strike out on their own and go any way they wanted. They didn't turn left and right whenever they wanted. They followed the guide. God is always going first. Let that be the case in our life today. There's a temptation when we come to a point in our life that we've never been before, a way that we've not passed before, there's a temptation to do our own thing. There's a temptation to find our own way. There's a temptation to act by our own wisdom and what we think and what we feel. Act first and then ask questions later. No, we need to stay behind God and not run ahead of Him. Basically, what the command is, you stay behind God. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't run ahead. Don't do your own thing. What I think and what I feel, let God be the guide. Verse 3, go after it. Not beside it, not even before it. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. As we go into a period of our life that we have not passed this way before, we need to remember to let God go first. And when we're tempted to say, well, I think and I feel and this is what I want, let's remember Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Stay behind God and don't run ahead. There's going to be some times where we need some wisdom. And James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God. Pray to God for wisdom. These decisions that I'm having to make in this new year, I need some help with that. Turn to God in prayer. Open up your Bible. God made us. He knows what is best for us. He's our guide. He knows the journey that we're taking. In fact, He even knows the future when we don't. He knows exactly what we're going to be doing in 2018, being omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, all-powerful. He knows exactly what we're going to go through, and He's there to help us with that. Let's not presume the future. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, let's not just say that we're going to make plans and leave God out. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 13 that if we're making plans for the future, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or do that. We don't know what the future holds. Our life is like a vapor, James says. And if it's the Lord's will, we need to keep the Lord in our life. And this is the same book where James says in chapter 1 to pray for wisdom. We don't need to take one step without God being the guide. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. As we look into the future, don't say, well, this is going to happen or that is going to happen. We don't know. We need to take each day and say, if the Lord wills, and we need to take each day and say, God is going to be my guide. When Israel crossed over, the first rule was, you let God go first. And we would do well to do the same today. But then come with me to Joshua chapter 3. And come down to the very next verse. As the Ark of the Covenant went forward, there was to be a space in between. And not just simply to show the way, it's a space of a little over half a mile. It's quite a distance. But to stay away from the Ark of the Covenant, there were instructions on who was to carry that Ark. It had to be the Levites, and it was to be carried in a particular kind of way. And we learn that God is not just some ordinary buddy of ours, but there is to be some reverence and respect. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits, about 3,000 feet, a little over half a mile. As we go down through life and as we face the future, there is a temptation from time to time just to make God and His Word ordinary. The Bible is just another book. The church is no big deal. Prayer doesn't do anything for me. I spoke recently, just a couple of weeks ago, a lesson on respect. We're losing reverence and respect in our society. And we're lowering God and His Word and Jesus Christ down to the common and the ordinary. We need to remember that when we travel a new way, to let God go first and let there be reverence and respect along the way. We're talking about the Creator of the universe. We are to worship God. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. There needs to be a sense of awe, A-W-E, a sense of reverence and respect where we are taken back by the majesty of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, after talking about Mount Sinai, when the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments, the earth is quaking there and there's fire and smoke. It's an awesome picture. The Hebrew writer goes on to say how much more we have, what we have better in the church. And then he says, you need to take seriously when God speaks. Hebrews 12:25, see that ye refuse not him, God, that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned on earth, the Israelites, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I will make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken, what we have in the church and what we have in the kingdom, may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. There was to be a distance between the people and the Ark of the Covenant, in part because of who is represented there. Do we have reverence and awe? Do we tremble at God's Word, as the prophet Isaiah talks about, those who tremble at His Word? Let's have a renewed sense this morning as we enter into this year of humility and reverence and awe and respect for an Almighty God. We live in a culture that downgrades God. God is a punchline. God is a joke. God is a cuss word. The Bible is dismissed as a book of man and poked fun of, and late night comedians joke about spiritual things and religious things and holy things. We live in that kind of world. Let's remember our reverence and respect for God and His Word. And keep a distance, as it were, between us and Him. I believe God closes the gap between Himself and us in sending His Son to die on the cross and giving us His Word. But at the same time, like the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah reminded God's people that God is up in heaven and we're like grasshoppers in His sight. And all the nations are like a drop in a bucket to Him. Isaiah tried to remind the people of the grandeur and glory and the immenseness of God. And while it is true that He closes the gap and He wants to communicate with us, there should also be a sense of distance there of the high and holy God that we serve. So be reverent. Number three, come back with me to Joshua chapter 3. We find that the ark of God was to go first. Number two, there was to be a distance. And then when we come down to Joshua chapter 3, in verse 5, the text says, Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves." This is interesting language that is used in the Old Testament. It's interesting that sanctify yourselves, which means set yourself apart, it shows up on serious occasions throughout the Bible. Look at Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 through 15, where God's people there are getting the Ten Commandments. They're told to sanctify themselves. It's a great occasion, getting the commandments of God. Look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse 13, when they're trying to find out Achan and his sin, why it was that they couldn't take Ai and their sin in the camp. Sanctify yourselves. They had to find out where the evildoer was. On serious occasions, God's people are told to sanctify or set themselves apart. And we find the same thing here in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. We're about to cross over into Canaan land now. This is serious business. This is the very thing that we've been waiting for the past 40 years. Set yourself apart. Separation would prepare them to, number one, be in God's holy presence with the Ark of the Covenant. Number two, separation would help them to appreciate the great miracle that was about to happen in holding the water back. And it would show their faith in God. And so as we travel a new way, let us sanctify ourselves. That's the only way we can be of use to Christ in 2018, is if we set ourselves apart to serve Him. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as we're turning over to 2 Timothy 2, I want you to think about not just setting yourself apart in your mind to serve Christ, but you might, from time to time, starting today, find a place where you can physically separate yourself to think about serving Christ. The importance of the situation, the seriousness of the occasion. And I'll talk about that some more in just a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, after talking about those who have taught error, Paul says, "Howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal." A seal is a guarantee, an authentication. In other words, Paul is saying, you can write this one down. This is a guarantee. This is a true statement. "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness." You've got to separate yourselves from things that are wrong. Now, in a great house, he's going to use a physical illustration of our home, and we have this in our home. In a house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, you might have a china cabinet at home. Ladies, when you got married, you got that fine china, and then you put it up in the china cabinet, and you use it only on special occasions. That is something that is very costly. But you also have, this is in the drawer in the kitchen, that drawer, you know that drawer you open up where it's just a bunch of junk in there. You can't find anything. Do you have one of those drawers? And you go digging around, well, where's that such and such? And you're digging around, then there's all kinds of junk in there. That's not in the china cabinet, is it? The china cabinet's over there. That's the drawer where just the common, ordinary stuff goes. And so Paul says, in your house, there is precious things and expensive things and costly things. And then there's also those things, verse 20, made of wood and earth, some unto honor, that's the fine china, and some unto dishonor. There's different makeup of things that are in your home. And so, verse 21, if a man purge himself from these, that is the dishonorable things, the unrighteous things, we've got to get that out of our life. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, like that fine china, sanctified, set apart, meet or necessary. The old English version, M-E-E-T, meet, it means necessary, useful, for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That's the only way we can be useful to Christ in 2018, is to be set apart and get rid of anything that is dishonorable in our life. Sanctify yourselves. Jesus said in John 17, in verse 17, how does that happen? Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. When we allow God's truth to work in our lives, we are set apart from ungodly things. But let me suggest to you, not only in mind should we be set apart, but I believe that we can follow New Testament examples and physically set ourselves apart when the occasion demands it. Where did Jesus go in the Garden of Gethsemane? Where did he go right before the cross? What does the text say? He took Peter, James, and John, and what does the text say? He what? He went a little further. He just went out by himself. And he prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Get away, separate yourself, concentrate, focus. I want to be used by God's service. I want to do his will. Where were the apostles and Jesus right before Jesus was betrayed? Where were they? They're in an upper room observing the Passover by themselves. Jesus is teaching them a lesson on service. And then when they leave that room, there's some problems that start. And that helped them to face that. Peter and Judas being the exception. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Where did Paul go right after his conversion? Where did he go before spending his life preaching the gospel and making Christians and establishing churches? Turn with me to Galatians 1:15. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles straightway or immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and again I returned unto Damascus. I don't know what he was doing there. I don't know what he was doing there. We're not told. But he went away for a period of time. It may have been verse 11, 12, and 13. That might have been the time when he was receiving the revelation from Jesus Christ. But he went away for a while, and then he started his work. I like to think it was along the lines of what we're talking about this morning. Preparing his life to serve Christ. So we can separate ourselves mentally and spiritually by following God's Word. But I would suggest that we can also separate ourselves physically, whether it's in the privacy of our home or somewhere else, and focus on the seriousness of serving Christ in 2018. Turn the TV off, turn the phone off, all the noise, what we call white noise. There's all that constant background noise. And just say, I'm going to follow God. Sanctify yourselves. This is a serious occasion. And when Israel did that, they were blessed. Back now in chapter 3 of the book of Joshua, verse 5. Joshua says that if you'll let God go first, if you'll sanctify yourselves, the Lord will do wonders among you. And it started with holding the water back so that they could walk across on dry land. And then it didn't finish there. It didn't stop there. It continued on in Joshua chapter 6 in causing the walls of Jericho to fall down. And all of the battles thereafter belong to the Lord. If we will let God go first and be reverent and serious and separate ourselves so that we can truly be useful for the Master, God will do wonders. He'll make some changes. I don't believe God is doing the same type of supernatural miracles today, such as He did in drying up the Jordan River, but He's still working nonetheless. His providence is still working. His Word is still working. And as we face a new way that we've never been before, there's a temptation to give up on God. There's a temptation to say, well, I'm just going to do what everybody else in the world is doing. I'm going to be like everybody else. I'm going to fit in. And we forget that God is wanting to work a wonder in our life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Well, I do not believe that He is doing the supernatural miracle like was done there at the Jordan River. God is still working wonderful things and changing us. Will 2018 be the year that He does a wonder in your life and mine? Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 22, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that grows or waxes corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. God is trying to create in us something new. We don't have those old habits. We don't have those old attitudes. Did we display anything in 2017 that we need to get rid of and not display that again in 2018? Is there anything of that old man that can be shed? Verse 24 says that God hath been created. God is doing that, if we'll let Him do it. How does He do that? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. God is still working wonders today, as His Word works in our life to change us and transform us and make us different. God is working. Will we let Him do that? So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we obey God's Word, what happens? Verse 13. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. But we've got to let God work in us. He's not going to force Himself on us. He's not going to force Himself against our will. We have to, with fear and trembling, there's your respect. Obey God and He'll work in us and He'll do wonderful things. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. Have you ever known of someone that has radically changed and you see a difference in their life? That's God working through His Word. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when Paul talks about preaching the word at Thessalonica, when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. Yes, God is still working. And He wants to change us. Will you let Him do that? Either by becoming a Christian for the first time. Wouldn't that be the best way to start 2018? Wouldn't that be the best way to become a Christian? Sure it would be. Wouldn't that be the best way to start 2018 is to come back? I've been unfaithful. I haven't been obeying like I should have. And I'm going to start right now to do that. Wouldn't that be the best way to start the new year? Absolutely. But you've got to let God work that in you. You've got to do what He says. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. God's Word is so mighty that it can get in and change our thoughts. Talk about getting into our... Someone got into my head. We make that expression. He's trying to get into my head. That's exactly what God is trying to do. He's trying to get into my thoughts. And His Word can do that. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active. That means it's not dead. It's still working. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit of both joint and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word can discern that. God's Word can get in and make judgments of our thoughts, our intents. You don't know what my intentions are. I don't know what your intentions are. That's something that is private to you. But God's Word can get in and discern, make a judgment, know what is going on with your thoughts and your intents, and make the necessary changes. But you've got to let it do that. God will do wonders. He will take that old man that is in you and I, and He will shed that and make it the new man. And this would be a great time to do that. And then last of all, we've got to move forward. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6, it was not enough for them to get the instructions. They must move forward, and they did move forward. They got to the threshold of the land of Canaan, and they crossed over. Will you and I move forward beginning today? When we face a travel that we've not passed by that way before, there's a temptation to stay in our comfort zone. I just want to maintain the status quo. I just want to stay in the comfortable area where I'm at. This is the way it's been for a while, and I'm good with that. So I don't want to step out and be baptized. I don't want to step out and come back to the Lord. I don't want to grow as a Christian. I don't want to mature. As a congregation, I don't want to grow. We're good with the status quo. That would be like Israel standing on the bank of the Jordan River saying, I'm good, when you can look right across and see Canaan land. Why wouldn't you want to just go forward and get the blessings that God has? But, oddly enough, many people are satisfied with the status quo. They're satisfied with being on this side of the Jordan River. So the last thing is, we actually have to move forward. It's not enough to get the instructions. We must move forward and go on and get out of that comfort zone. Get out of that status quo. Because if we're not moving forward, brethren, we're moving backwards. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. I hope that as individual Christians, we'll want to move forward and grow. I hope as a congregation of the Warfield Boulevard family that we will want to move forward and grow. Leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection. Or one version says maturity. Let us press on to maturity. We've got to grow. Not laying again a foundation. And then he mentions these basic things that we should know. Not just staying with the basics, but growing. And the reason is, look at verse 4. those who don't do that, they go backward the other way. Verse 4, 5, and 6. And they get to a point where they will not be renewed again unto repentance. If we're not going forward, eventually we're going to be going backward. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, always felt a desire to move forward. Of all the great things that he accomplished and the letters that he wrote and the churches that he established and all the good that he had done for Christ, he always had the attitude of Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal. Paul was never satisfied with the status quo. He was never satisfied with just being a mediocre Christian or staying in a comfort zone, but always pressing on toward the goal. If we don't move forward, we go backward. And if we learned anything from the seven churches of Asia in our recent study of Revelation, it would be that Jesus holds local congregations accountable. And you remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, the church at Sardis, the text says that they had a name that they were living, but they were dead because they weren't going forward. And you remember Laodicea in Revelation 3, 16 and 17, they're just lukewarm. They're satisfied with the status quo. They're not moving forward. So I want us to grow. I want us to remain active. I want us to remain unified. And as we face a year before us, it's going to be a way traveled that we've not gone before. There are going to be things coming up in 2018 that we have not experienced before. But number one, we need to let God go first. Each day that we get up, God is going to guide us through prayer and through Bible study. And when we have an opportunity to come together to worship, God is going to be my guide. Before I make decisions, before I make plans, I'm going to consult the guide, the creator of the universe. And there's a distance between he and I. He's not my buddy. He's not my good old boy. He's God in heaven. And there's going to be a distance between he and I of respect and reverence. And I'm going to purge myself from anything that is keeping me useful to Christ. I want to set apart my life for Christ. And then and only then do I begin to see God working wonders in my life. Sometimes we may be disappointed with ourselves that why do I still have that same old habit? And why do I still have this thing that comes up and that thing that's come up? And it's been doing it for years. Why is it still there? Because I'm not letting God change that old man into the new man. It's because I'm not letting him go first. And being reverent and sanctifying myself. But if we'll do that, God will work in our lives. And there will be a wonderful change. And then we need to move forward. What do you need to do? What do I need to do to move forward? I want to close this morning with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Joshua was not the only one who gave his people rest. There is another rest, and that is called heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, therefore remaineth, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We have our Canaan land in front of us, heaven. For he that has entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, heaven, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. As we move forward, as we studied this morning in our class, trying to move forward to heaven, let's do it the way God wants it done. By letting Him go first, by being set apart and sanctified, by showing reverence, by letting God work wonders, and by moving forward. While the details of our future may be unknown, in the road we have not traveled yet, we can be sure that God tells us how to accomplish those things. He leads us through prayer and Bible study and by coming together and worship. And as we sung this morning, let God be our guide. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. As we enter into this new year, let that be our song. Let that be our approach to life. There may be someone here this morning in letting God guide you to the baptistry, to be baptized into Christ, guide you to come back as an erring child of God. But as we go out this morning, let's remember that we're going into a way that we've never passed before, but God is there to lead us if we'll let Him. If you're subject to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?